Sportscast, September 30th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Ohio State was supposed to get its first big test of the season at Nebraska. It hardly turned out that way. Tyler is with us at the Sportscast. Welcome back.
We're good.
So Justin Fields threw for three touchdowns, ran for another. Nebraska quarterback Adrian Martinez was intercepted on three of the Cornhuskers' first four series, and the Buckeyes turned in their most impressive performance of the season by beating Nebraska 48 to 7. Tyler, what were your thoughts about this game?
48-7. It was a real close one. It was funny because I was running a Twitter handle for Sportscast for the game, and by halftime I was like, "Peace, I'm done."
I saw that.
It was 38-0. I'm like, "This is just not even any fun to watch." I mean, my team's Oregon, second team's Nebraska. I was a childhood Nebraska fan, so yes, I was rooting for Nebraska. But even if I was I guess it's kind of entertaining, but it was just such a...
I'm losing you reception-wise.
Their defense looks terrific. Their wide receivers look terrific. Their running back looks terrific. Their defensive line looks terrific. I don't know if I already said that, but their secondary looks terrific. They look great. Well, it's a very good team.
Justin Fields, the transfer from Georgia, who has played himself into the first tier of the Heisman Trophy candidates, which is very debatable. And Tyler just left us. Let's get him back. Sorry about that, guys. Talking about Ohio State and Nebraska. Ohio State beat Nebraska 48-7. It was pretty... Tyler.
Hi, man.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'm out here driving.
Low reception spot in Minnesota. Like I was saying, Justin Fields, a transfer from Georgia who has played himself into the fierce tier of Heisman Trophy candidates, threw for 212 yards and kept alive his streak of no interceptions this season. He added 72 yards rushing. He now has a hand in 23 touchdowns, 16 through the air. How do you think Fields is doing so far?
I mean, Fields is great. More than anything, it's kind of like I'm like driving out here. And I'm like, don't know where I am. But anyway, it's kind of like Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State has one of the most talented rosters in college football. When I broke down my, if you have read any of my articles on the team talent formula, you see that I broke down the talent on each roster. And also I've shared some stuff from the 247 team talent composite. And just plain and simple, Ohio State has one of the very best rosters in college football when it comes to talent. I mean, they have talent all over. I don't know how many. It's like 14 five-stars. They probably have 25, 30 top 100 players. I think two-thirds of the roster is made of a blue-chip four- and five-star talent. They just have one of the most talented rosters in college football. Per player average, they might even have the most talented roster in college football. So it's really not surprising that this team is able to play to this kind of level. They've been a little inconsistent at the last couple of years, but still, I mean, they've won three Big Ten titles in a row. They've made the college football playoffs twice. I think they were 12-1 or 13-1 in Urban Meyer's last year. I mean, they're still been one of the top five schools. But a little inconsistent, had a couple of games here and there that you're like, what the heck happened there? But then you see it all put together. You see it clicking on all cylinders. You see that quarterback position just playing like the quarterback position should be played. You're seeing those wide receivers and those running backs making the kind of plays that their ability says they should make. You're seeing this defensive line have guys like Chase Young that can just really get after the quarterback. And then you're seeing first-round talent in the defensive backfield. and Sean Wade and Fuller, and you're just seeing it all come together at time. You're seeing Ohio State playing at a very elite level right now.
Which comes into this next topic about the AP Top 25. Alabama was pushed number one, Clemson number two, Georgia number three, Ohio State number four. Now, staying on that topic, you were saying you think Ohio State should be number one.
I mean, well, my opinion, I think they are the best team. I didn't say they should be number one in the AP poll. Actually, I said the opposite to that. I said I think Ohio State is the best team. But actually, if you're going to go, because remember, there does have to be an element of consistency. I think Alabama should be number one. Because they started the year off number two. They were the runner-up for the national title last year. They have taken care of business. They've dominated every single game. So I think it's just in a matter of just like kind of order, Alabama should be number one. I just think Ohio State, if they all play on a neutral field, I think Ohio State would win the national title. That being said, I think Alabama, and I even said that in our chat, Alabama should be number one.
But for talent-wise, you think Ohio State is better overall?
Okay, when you go by the team talent formula or the team talent composite, which you ever feature, you use my team talent formula, which is very similar, comes out with very similar results to the team talent composite. I believe Alabama and Ohio State are about even. They're very close. I think Ohio State, there's a few more five stars. They might even have a couple more top 100 guys. I think Alabama has five-star Dylan Moses to injury. They did lose five-star Trey Sanders to injury. They did lose five-star whatever his name is, can't pronounce the transfer portal. They did lose five-star Alfonso, whatever. But they both transferred. So they have lost some really key players, and I think that is seen a little bit more on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that Ohio State maybe just has a little more talent on defense. It'd be pretty close. It's a pretty similar game. Alabama still has a very much elite talent, especially at the wide receiver position, but I would say maybe give a slight edge to Ohio State. Correct.
Alabama was the was number one in the coaches' poll, and the Crimson Tide have now claimed the top spot in the latest top 25 poll in the AP. Fresh off its 59-31 win over Ole Miss, Alabama claims the top spot from AP voters with 1,478 points. Clemson drops only spot to number two after holding off North Carolina 21-20. The rest of the AP top five stays mostly the same, with the notable change of Ohio State leapfrogging LSU to go from number five to number four. The Buckeyes won easily at Nebraska 40-7. Clemson obviously only won by 1 point. There's been talk about the quarterback Lawrence not doing well, and we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Where do you see Clemson? I mean, are they going to spiral down more, or do you think they'll stick around the number two?
Well, I mean, the only way they spiral down is if they really lose in the AP poll. Now, I hope the College Football Playoff Committee and the College Football Poll, which doesn't come out until the end of October or the beginning of November, I hope they look at things more objectively. For one, I don't think you should inherit a college football playoff position. It should be earned. The AP poll is a little bit inherited. It's kind of what you did last year. If you were a good team last year, you're going to be rated high in the AP poll, and if you don't lose, you'll still stay high. Clemson, if you look at the eye test, is probably not even top five this year. Now, if you look at the past few years where they've made four straight college football playoff appearances, two national titles, that's why they're so high. But hopefully the College Football Playoff Committee looks at things objectively and says, is this team really that good? Who have they beaten and how have they looked? And no, so far this year, they haven't looked great. And I said this. I remember when I would talk about my team talent formula, I remember, if you were listening, I don't know if you were listening or not, but I said they had lost some talent. Their roster wasn't quite as talented. They lost a lot of good players on the defensive line. They lost a lot of experience and good players on the offensive line. And I think both sides aren't as good this year. And I just saw that there was probably just a tick back in talent. Also, they had some of their more talented players were more youthful. And I thought that this might not be as good a Clemson team, but they did have Trevor Lawrence. They did have the big receivers, guys like T. Higgins and Justin Ross. They did have Travis Etienne, a very good running back. So I was like, maybe because they're in a weak conference, they're still just going to roll. And maybe you would see this lack of talent show up in like the semifinal or in the national title game. But it's actually showing up in the ACC and early on in this year. And I just don't think this team is going to win the national title. I know it seems a little early to say that, but I think they're just not quite as talented as like the Georgias, the Alabamas, Ohio State. I think they're not going to win it. That's just my opinion.
I kind of agree with you. Anyways, we'll see what happens. It's a little early. So other than some minor shuffling, there wasn't too many changes in this week's poll. Like with the coaches poll, California dropped out after losing to Arizona State. Four new teams entered.
And AP. They dropped out AP too.
Yeah. Four new teams entered the rankings this week. Arizona State, Oklahoma State, Wake Forest, and SMU. The Mustangs are ranked for the first time since October 1986. Incredible.
Awesome. Are you looking at the coaches poll or the AP poll?
The AP poll.
Okay, cool.
Have you seen SMU play recently?
Oh, no, I haven't. Nope.
Okay. Let's
I don't have any opinion on them.
No, it's okay. I mean, I haven't seen them. I haven't heard anything, so I was kind of surprised. I may have to look into them more closely. Let's preview Oregon versus California. Week 6 of college football continues as California travels to Austin Stadium to take on number 13 Oregon this Saturday. This will be their 83rd meeting between these two teams, with California winning 41 of them. However, Oregon has won each of the last two meetings, including this most recent one, which occurred last season as the Ducks won by a score of 42-24. Tyler, what's going to happen this weekend?
The game lost a little bit of luster. It was going to be, I thought it had a chance if Cal would have won to be a top 15 matchup. But not only did Cal lose, they also lost starting quarterback Chase Garbers to a shoulder injury. Rumor has it it's a broken collarbone, which probably means he's out the season. The backup came in, former UCLA quarterback transfer Devin Monster, and he looked absolutely atrocious. They're not a great offense anyway. They're predicated on good defensive play, but their offense is really bad at the backup end. So this game lost some luster. Cal fell out of the top 25. I really don't think it's going to be a great game. I thought there could have been an outside chance. It was a pretty good game. It was going to be a top 15 matchup. I thought it would give Oregon some much needed kind of like publicity, you know, a top 15 victory. But now they're expected to win by, like, I think they're favored by 2 touchdowns. The only thing that will make it look really good is if they win, like, 63-7. So that's what I hope they do. Because right now I really don't see – I mean, Cal's not very good offensively. They weren't good that good with Garber. They definitely weren't a good passing offense, so they're even worse now. They're an average at best running offense. Oregon is a top 10 defense when it comes to defensive efficiency, to scoring defense. I'm top 10 against the pass, and then they're going up against a team that's bad in all those areas. I honestly think it's going to be, I just want Oregon to look good. I want Oregon, that is a good defense for Cal, but I think they're going to be out the field for a long time because I don't think their offense is going to generate anything. I think it's going to be like 28-3. I would like if it's like 42-3. Not only that, is Oregon is at home. Like I said, Cal lost their starting quarterback, but Oregon's also bringing back, Cristobal's going to go into his press conference here in a little bit, so we'll exactly know everyone is back. They're for sure bringing back heralded freshman Mike Pittman from injury, wide receiver. I think they're bringing back 2-year starter and senior Brendan Schooler. Actually, 3-year starter. Safety as a freshman and wide receiver as a sophomore, junior. And I think there's also a chance that senior grad transfer Juwan Johnson is going to be back. So there's a chance that they have their whole wide receiver core back, which obviously is a huge boost. So, yeah, I expect Oregon to win by 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns.
Sounds good for Oregon. Another news for Oregon, Devon Williams transfers to Oregon. Tyler, he was originally going to the Beavers. Now he switches back to Oregon. What happened?
Okay, I'm going to fill you in on this recruitment. You know, I'm a big recruiting nitwit, whatever the word I want. I can't even think of the word right now, but I love recruiting. I followed college football recruiting intensely since about 2016, so I've been hard at it for 3-4 years. I knew Devon Williams' recruitment from top to bottom. He was a consensus 4-star. He was a 5-star by ESPN. So he was a top 50 player, a 5-star by ESPN, 4-star by 247 Sports and Rivals. His composite score was, he was like a high-end 4-star. He was he represented at the opening. He represented at the Under Armour game. I think even the Polynesian Bowl. He was one of the top wide receivers in the country. He was always considered a huge Oregon duck wing. All the way. Like, their crystal ball experts, who's a recruiting expert across the nation, they always think where a player's going to go. He was 100% predicted for most of his recruitment to land at Oregon. But Willie Taggart left. Willie Taggart left Oregon, went to Florida State, and that, I think, kind of threw a curveball in, because a few guys really close with Taggart, and then you all of a sudden saw that he didn't commit in an early signing period, so people were kind of wondering, and then sorry, I got a message on my phone, so I got distracted. Okay. He didn't recruit in the early signing period. He then, like, waited till the end of the signing period. All of a sudden, he took official visits to USC. And we're like, what? Like, where did USC come from? Then national recruiting expert for 247 Sports, Steve Wilfong, all of a sudden, crystal ball picked him to USC. We're like, everyone in Oregon was like, what? This guy was supposed to be our biggest recruit. He would have been the highest recruit of the 2018 cycle for Oregon. Well, long story short, on signing day, he decided to pick USC. It was a huge loss by Oregon. It was probably the biggest miss we had that cycle, any cycle in recent memory for Oregon. And that's how it went. Well, he went to USC, played a little bit as a freshman, didn't do a whole lot. And then second game of the season, he still was like second team on the depth chart. But remember, USC has great wide receivers. It's some of the best wide receivers in the country. All of a sudden, he left. All of a sudden, he's like transferred from USC. So we're like, wow, is Oregon going to go after him? Well, since then, Oregon had picked up some really good players at receiver. They had picked up top 100 guys like a Pittman and Brian Addison, 4-star guys like Josh Delgado, Lance Wilhoit. They have the commitment of top 100 wide receiver Johnny Wilson this cycle. So we didn't know if they even were going to go after Williams. Well, it turns out they did, but they really didn't have a scholarship. So he probably wasn't the most attractive pick. But as it turned out, if you transfer from an institution, you have to sit out a whole school year or the whole school. Well, he was going to only be able to transfer in order to play immediately at like a school that went off the quarter cycle. So he pretty much could only transfer, by at least the sound of it, to schools in Oregon because of how their school is set up. Well, all of a sudden, he just picked Oregon State. And everyone was like, kind of like weird. Like, really?
Me too.
This is a guy that always wanted to, what?
Me too. I was like, what? Why there?
He always wanted to go to Oregon, but the thing was, Oregon State obviously doesn't have any players of his caliber. Oregon State had the scholarship available. And so it seemed like all of a sudden he's going to Oregon State. It's like, well, you know, that's what, we didn't have room, and that's just the way it was. Well, then there started to be rumblings on message board that, hey, hold on, Devon Williams might still be trying to go to Oregon. There was rumors that he was contacting Oregon saying, if you could figure out something, I'd rather come there. That's what was a rumbling. It started spreading. A lot of journalists like John Cazano for Oregon Live, Andrew Nemec for Oregon Live, Angie Mercado, who blocked us at Sportscast, by the way, for Beaver Blitz. Hold on, for Beaver Blitz.
Oh, wow. Hold on. I'm calling back. Sorry, guys. Sometimes when you're on the road, the reception does not do well. But we're calling back Tyler Turner to finish off with Devon Williams and his issue.
Sorry. This is the crappiest sports cast. I know. I keep on, like, accidentally holding the call.
Quality is bad, but the content is good. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I suck. Anyways, back to what I was saying. Like, we got deleted from, blocked by Angie Machado from just the Beaver Blitz reporter. Because people are like, well, this is just message board stuff. Because it was Justin Hopkins, the Scoop Duck, that was sharing this information. And no one else is really reporting it. But then when you started looking at Devon Williams' like Twitter profile, he didn't share anything about being a Beaver. So it started to be a little weird. Then Angie Machado said, yes, he left Oregon and went back to L.A., which was odd. He was supposed to just be moving into Oregon State. Then all of a sudden, Friday afternoon, Devon Williams sends out a tweet that he's going to Oregon. Wild. And he stated in his tweet and in a subsequent interview later with 247 Sports that he always wanted to go to Oregon. It was always where he wanted to go from the very beginning. But family and close friends basically told him he should go to USC. So he ended up being basically pushed to USC, which was the rumors. So the rumors were true. He confirmed the rumors. He said, I wanted Oregon. His family and friends wanted him at USC, so he went to USC. It wasn't going very good. He didn't like how USC was going, so he left. And ultimately, he wanted to go to Oregon. And he didn't even really acknowledge Oregon State very much. Basically, he seemed to insinuate that he never actually committed to Oregon State. Like, the transfer to Oregon State was kind of, in all intents and purposes, a little bit over-exaggerated. Meaning, he actually never said he committed to Oregon State. So the media said he enrolled and committed, but I don't know if from at least Devon Williams' words, he said he didn't.
Devon Williams will use his season as a redshirt year and be eligible to play 3 years in Eugene starting in 2020.
And by the way, it's kind of crazy because Justin Herbert, you have to feel sorry for him for a second. Justin Herbert, his whole time at Oregon, has played with, like, not the most talented wide receiver form. He's played with true freshman three stars. He played with a converted safety in Brennan Schooler. He's played with not the most talented wide receiver form. His backup, who will probably be the starter next year, Tyler Shuck, will probably play with the most talented wide receiver group in Oregon Duck history. They have like something like 4 top 100 players. They'll have like 11 blue chip, former blue chippers that are at both the tight end and wide receiver position. So do not be surprised if Tyler Shuck actually puts up better numbers than Justin Herbert. It's not because he's better necessarily. It's because the talent around him is better.
And there you have it. That is our Oregon update. Due to time, we have to head into game predictions.
That's fine, bro.
Let's go for the first one, UCF versus Cincinnati.
I don't really know much about either of these teams. I guess I'll go UCF.
Oklahoma State versus Texas Tech.
Let's go Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's pretty good.
Oklahoma State. Kent State versus Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. Why are you asking me that game? Give me a good game. That's a crap game.
Not a good weekend of games, but we're getting better. Purdue.
Yeah, it yes, it is. No, there's a good – there's like
– Yeah, I know. They're coming. They're coming.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about 4 of them. But anyways, Purdue versus Penn State.
Penn State.
Oklahoma versus Kansas.
Oklahoma. Okay, I'm waiting for the good one.
It's coming. Because the thing is, if I just put the 4, like the good ones, there's only 5 of them. Texas versus West Virginia.
Texas.
Northwestern versus Nebraska.
That's actually a decent one as far as being a pretty equal matchup. where's it at?
It's in Nebraska. Back to back.
It is at Nebraska?
Yep.
Okay, I thought it was at Northwestern. Your pals? Okay.
I'll
go Nebraska. Nebraska hasn't looked great. I'm telling you, I thought this was the year that Scott Frost was going to turn that thing around. They got a lot of hype. They were preseason top 25. Adrian Martinez was a preseason Heisman Trophy contender. For one, Adrian Martinez has not been good. He's turned the ball over way too much. I don't know how many interceptions he had, six or seven. He's had several fumbles. And just as a team, their execution hasn't been great. Their defense still lacks talent. Nebraska is the work in progress, to say the least. They have a long ways to go before they're going to be really that competitive.
Looking forward to that game. That's a low-key match. Iowa at Michigan.
Very good game. Iowa's look good. I still think Michigan's a more talented team. I still think Iowa's good for three or four losses. I'm going to go Michigan.
Michigan. And the biggest game of the weekend, in my opinion, Auburn at Florida.
Auburn at Florida. There's another good matchup that you're missing. I will go Auburn. I think Auburn's better. I think they both have very good defenses, but I think I trust the offense of Auburn right now a little more. They're playing the starting quarterback, not a backup. And I just think I've seen them both play. I trust Auburn a little bit more. I think Auburn's pretty good. I think Auburn wins about 10 games. I think Auburn knocks off Georgia, LSU, or Alabama, one of them. I think they win one of those games. I think Auburn's pretty good. I think Auburn's a pretty good, damn good team. So
they got a tough schedule. Yeah, I think Auburn's going to beat Florida. And a score for California, Oregon.
Yeah, we've gone back and forth. I said 28-3. I'm gonna settle on 35-6. I think Justin Herbert throws about four interceptions. I think Justin Herbert throws four interceptions. I think Justin Herbert throws four touchdowns, not interceptions. And I think Oregon looks. I think Oregon looks good. I think Oregon. I think if you look at it as objectively as possible, I think Oregon has the best team in the Pac-12. I think a combination of talent along with experience, I really think that Oregon. Now, that does not mean they're way more talented, and that does not mean they're way better overall than any other team. They could lose to Washington. They could lose at Arizona State. They could possibly lose even at USC. But I think as a team, experience of both offense and defense, and overall just having a little more talent than pretty much anyone else they play, except for maybe USC, and they're obviously just they're just kind of a nightmare when it comes to culture there right now. I think Oregon on a week-in, week-out basis is probably the safest bet to win the Pac-12. And I'm not saying that just because I'm an Oregon fan. Of course I want that. But I actually have seen everyone in the Pac-12 play. I've watched pretty much every week. I watch a couple Pac-12 games, watch a couple this weekend. And I just think talent-wise, experience-wise, they have the best team in the Pac-12. I really do.
Who's second best?
Washington.
Yeah.
USC on paper has the most talent. But the thing is, their coaching situation, their culture, I just don't think they're in a good place.
No.
They have the most talent on paper, and they're dangerous because of that. But because of all the other stuff, I just don't trust them. I think next to Oregon, then the most talented is Washington. I also think they have maybe perhaps the best coaching staff. You know, Chris Peterson is the head coach, defensive coordinator, and Jimmy Lake. And a lot of their biggest games fall at home. And I think they're a team that will finish 10-2, 9-3. I think that's the toughest game left for Oregon, and I think they have the best team outside of Oregon in the Pac-12.
And finally, NFL tonight, Bengals at the Steelers.
Are they both 0-3?
I know Pittsburgh is. I'm going to see Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati's that bad.
I think they're 1-2 if they're not 0-3. Where is it at?
They're playing in Pittsburgh.
I'll go Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're 1-2.
Okay. Yeah, they're both not very good, though. I go Pittsburgh.
Which I've heard.
How about Green Bay?
Green Bay
plays Dallas next weekend.
Yeah, big game. Usually, you know, Aaron Rodgers has had a good record with Dallas.
Who's had a good record with Dallas?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers has had a good record playing against Dallas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, Green Bay, we didn't talk about the Green Bay game. I'll surprise you and bring
time,
it up.
Time. Time is our enemy.
That was a bad game. Their defense really did not play well. And that was a game that I thought they for sure were going to win at home. And Aaron Rodgers played really well, but, you know, a couple plays at the end didn't get it done. So, it's in Dallas. Dallas didn't look good last night, though, on offense.
Yeah, not at all.
Didn't do anything.
I mean, it reflected a lot of my fantasy.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I don't know. Green Bay's offense looked a lot better. Their defense didn't look as good. The analytics would say maybe Dallas is a little better team, but their offense didn't look good last week. I'm going to go Green Bay.
Okay.
Loyalty. I'll be honest.
And random question, who was the top performer this past weekend in college football?
From my perspective, I probably would give Justin Fields.
Yeah.
I would probably say Justin Fields, which begs the question, if you're going to ask me right now, who would your Heisman favorites be? I'd probably say Joe Burrow, because who he's done it against. He did it against, you know, a top 15 team in Texas.
Who are your top three picks?
They had a very good game.
Fields, Burrow, and the last one?
You know, I can't. Okay, Hurts and Talavaloa had put up great numbers, but they played crap teams. I don't know. In my opinion, that has to come into play. You have to put up against good teams, at least decent teams. You know, if I'm going to go right now, I'd say Jonathan Taylor, Joe Burrow, and Justin Fields. And I'm a little hesitant with Fields because I don't think he's played great teams either.
Like Nebraska.
You know what? I'm going to take Fields off because I have to stay consistent. I can't negate Hurts and Tua. And then give Fields a pass when he hasn't played anyone either. I am going to say Sam Ellinger. You know, even though he lost to LSU, he beat Oklahoma State, two different top 25 teams. He had amazing numbers, and he has played extremely well. So I'm going to say first Joe Burrow, second Sam Ellinger, third Jonathan Taylor. But the actual ratings are probably Talavaloa.
Yeah, he's definitely in conversation. Yeah.
Who have they played? Who have they played? Who have they played?
Who, Alabama?
What have they played? Alabama or Oklahoma?
They didn't play anyone. Ole Miss, that's the closest, the
they
highest.
Jack Swat. And I was looking at their schedule.
I know. We talked about this. They only play SEC hard teams. That's it.
But even their SEC schedule, like Tennessee, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Ole Miss. I mean, these are like the worst teams in the SEC.
Yeah. They should have played like Michigan or West Virginia or something.
They have to. Yeah, their schedule's pathetic.
They got to play has some more parity. Now, which quarterback has impressed you this past weekend? I mean, this past season, Gardner Minshew or Jones from the Giants?
You know what? I haven't watched him close enough. I know Minshew's had a couple of good performances, led them back to victory. I know Jones has won his first two games. I really cannot say because I've not seen them. Who's been better? Who's had better statistics? Who's looked better? I don't know.
I believe Gardner Minshew. I mean, he yesterday came back from behind and beat the Broncos in Denver. So he's doing pretty good so far.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, they're both doing pretty good. So congrats to those guys. I mean, Gardner Minshew's a fun guy. So congrats to him.
And congrats to Tyler. He has his fourth child so far.
Yep, Shepherd Aubrey Turner.
There you have it.
Yeah, dog.
Easy labor.
Easy.
What
Oregon
is
Duck fan? Future Liberty Flame. I don't know.
It could be. Which I think they won this past weekend. They beat a significant team.
They did. They beat New Mexico. They've won three in a row.
That's pretty good.
Actually, I think since Hugh Freeze has got it, yeah, actually, not a bad start for Liberty because remember the first two games, Hugh Freeze couldn't be on the sidelines because of his back injury and his infection.
Yeah.
So since he's actually been able to be a normal coach, they've been 3-2.
That's a good
sign. You know what? I've been looking at the recruiting. They've actually been getting 3-star guys, which is impressive for a non-Power 5 school that just moved up to the FBS level. I could see Liberty, as long as Freeze is around there, being a 7-8 win team, being bowl eligible every year.
Which conference do you think they'll probably join eventually?
I don't know if they'll join any, to be honest with you.
That's hard.
I don't know if they'll join any. I actually don't know if they'll join any. I didn't know if they're independent. Because I think they kind of consider themselves, and Jerry Falwell, even when I was at Liberty, would compare. He wanted Liberty to be like Notre Dame. Oh, has Notre Dame ever joined a conference?
Nope.
So I don't think they'll ever actually answer, and I don't think they ever will.
And Notre Dame will probably never, ever will as well. What is the best way to reach you, Tyler, to talk to you about Wisconsin Badgers?
Talk to me about the Badgers? Why the Badgers? At the Turner Cast. No, seriously, why are they talking about the Badgers?
You know,
they can.
You were impressed with them 2 weeks ago.
I was impressed with them. I'm not necessarily a big Badger fan. I'm from Minnesota. They're not my team. But you can talk about the Badgers. If I say things you don't like, don't be mad. I do think Wisconsin's pretty good. Yeah. I still would say, and I think a game like last week where they only ended up winning by 8 points against Northwestern, their talent is not on tier with. And I'm going to do an article on this, by the way, because I was looking at the talent ratios, and it's amazing that the top 20 talent, 16 of those are rated. And so you really see, if you land top 20 talent, you give yourself, as long as the coaches aren't, it's really remarkable how much Florida State, USC, Tennessee right now are wasting their talent. It's a travesty. They should be fired. All those coaches should be fired because they have as much talent as like Oklahoma, Texas, Auburn, Clemson, and they're not even maybe going to be bowl eligible or going to be like 7-5. But at the same time, kudos to a team like Wisconsin because Wisconsin doesn't even have top 35 talent baseline when you come to recruiting ranking. But look, they have a top 10 team. The same with Iowa. Iowa doesn't even have top 40 talent. They have a top 15 team. Utah doesn't even have barely top 50 talent. They have a top 20 team. So a testament to Paul Christ at Wisconsin, testament to Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, testament to Kyle Whittingham at Utah to show what they can do despite having limitations in talent. But that being said, you do see at times, and I think it will catch up to Iowa, I think it will even maybe catch up to Wisconsin, when they play on Ohio State, when they play even like Utah played USC, you see the lack of speed on the outside that can cause them to lose games sometimes just because, you know what? Their talent is pretty much the same as the team that they're playing that they're supposed to beat by 20 points.
Yeah.
They just have such a better program. So, kudos to those coaches, but I think at the end of the day, I don't think you'll normally see any of those teams in the playoffs because they just don't have enough baseline talent.
How about Brady Quinn talking about having 4 SEC teams in the top 4? Or was it he said 4.
He said 3.
Okay, he said 3.
Oh, he said 4? I thought he said 3. It's just stupid. At the end of the day, do I think if you were to ask me the top 5 teams in the nation right now, top 6, whatever, 7. Yeah, there's like 3 or 4 SEC teams. It's true.
Yeah.
But a loss is a loss. A conference title is a conference title. People don't want to see the same freaking conference play each other. I'm sorry they don't. So at the end of the day, you have to take conference title into consideration. You have to take record into consideration. Teams like LSU, Auburn, they're more likely going to have 1 or 2 losses on the resume. They're not going to win a conference title. And I think that keeps them out of the playoffs. I think ultimately, I know if there are like 2 teams there, I think ultimately it's going to be 1 SEC team. I really do.
Yeah, it should be 1.
I think there's enough good. I think Ohio State's good in the Big Ten. You got Oklahoma and Texas good in the Big 12. You still got Oregon. If Oregon wins out, good luck keeping them out. You got Clemson in the ACC. I just think there's enough good teams in other conferences that will – well, Penn State in the Big Ten. Can't forget Penn State. They look really good. Yeah. So there's going to be enough good teams in other conferences that I think whoever wins the SEC is going to get beat SEC.
Can't be the SEC playoffs.
That's my opinion.
Cannot be the SEC
probably
playoffs.
Alabama.
Anyways.
As of today, I'll say Alabama, so we'll see.
Visit us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Thesportscast.net have articles about college football, soccer, NBA, you name it. Tyler will be writing some articles about talent coming up shortly. And, of course, at thesportscast1 on Twitter, follow us. We'll do some live tweet updates on certain games, even the games that we think we like who will win, like Alabama versus Mississippi State. So, anyways, follow us there, and of course, follow us along in all the channels. Anyways, Tyler, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Ralph.